Hi, this is Janae Darden, and I work in the KALW News Department. I just wanted to let you know we're in our spring membership drive. We're a listener-supported radio station, and you can help us out. Just go to KALW.org and click Donate.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hana Baba. Haben Girma is a 31-year-old lawyer from Oakland. In 2013, she was named a Champion of Change by President Barack Obama. In 2016, she was listed in Forbes magazine's 30 Under 30, and it's all because of her work in the disability community. Haben was born deafblind to an Eritrean mom and Ethiopian dad. Her passion for helping the disabled community led her to become a lawyer and the first ever deafblind person to graduate from Harvard Law School. She's won cases against major companies, and today she consults with organizations and companies to make sure they make products that are accessible and provide services that are inclusive. Now, she's writing a book about her life. Haben Girma came by our studios and sat down with KALW's Hana Baba. She brought her guide dog Milo and an interpreter who you may hear typing in the background of this interview.
So most people have an idea of people with disabilities. We're actually very diverse. We have lots of different interests, lots of different abilities, but most people in the public have a preconceived idea of who we are and what we're capable of, and they treat us based on that. There's like a single disability story of incompetence and helplessness and just all around very boring. That's the dominant assumption. So when I interact with people, I have to express a lot of patience, a lot of forgiveness, and also optimism. I'm hopeful that with a little training, they'll be able to move from the assumptions and stereotypes to treating me as an actual human being with interests and skills and talents and abilities.
That takes me to your work, this kind of, you know, we hear about cultural competency training, but your work is so important where you go into organizations and you go into companies and say, wait, how accessible is your product? You're making people think about something that maybe, you know, they never thought about before. So tell me a little bit about your work and what you do.
Through my work, I teach people that disability is an opportunity for innovation. When you make your products and services accessible, more people gain access to your product, which means a larger audience for you and more revenue in the long run. For example, podcasts, radio, and transcripts. If you add transcripts to your show, more people gain access to your show. Deaf individuals and hearing individuals. Hearing individuals gain more access because transcripts benefit anyone who wants to go back and look up details. If they are a journalist and they want to write an article about the show, it helps to be able to review the transcripts. Also, search engine optimization. With more text associated with your show, more people will find your show through keyword searches.
And you had another piece of advice for us as journalists, which is, please, journalists, you said, don't use the word inspirational to describe somebody with a disability. What's wrong with the word inspirational?
It's cliched. It's boring. It's overused. In fact, when the average person wants to describe someone with a disability, their default word is inspirational. We start using it now without even thinking about it, so it's lost its meaning. As journalists, you have a responsibility to create exciting, engaging content that teaches people new things, that brings us diverse stories that we rarely hear about. So instead of using the word inspirational, pause and think. What's another word you can use? Even role model would be better and more exciting than using the word inspirational.
Mm-hmm. So for our listeners, you are deafblind. So can you tell us how we're doing this interview now? Can you tell that story to the folks that can't see us right now, but they can hear us on the radio?
I'm deafblind. I have limited vision and hearing. And all my life, I've been finding ways to connect with people because I'm social, like most human beings, and want to have relationships and connections with people. The system I'm using right now is a braille display. So a computer with braille dots on it, and I run my fingers over the braille dots. And this is wirelessly connected to a QWERTY keyboard, and we have a typist who's transcribing Hannah's words, and I'm reading it on a digital braille display.
Tell me about your family's journey to the U.S. And, you know, some articles say she's Eritrean. Some articles say she's Ethiopian. And there's some Sudan in your story, too, where I'm from. So tell me that story.
My mother grew up in Eritrea. My father grew up in Ethiopia. They met here in the U.S., and I was born and raised in Oakland, California. Ethiopia and Eritrea were in war for 30 years. Eritrea wanted independence. And I grew up hearing the stories of the struggles of Eritreans seeking freedom and independence. And while that story is not exactly about disability, hearing those stories reminded me, even if society frames you as weak, you can always find solutions. You do not need to see yourself as weak. And I don't see myself as weak. I see myself as strong and powerful, even though the most of society might frame me as helpless and incompetent. So I'm resisting those stories and creating my own story.
So how were those stories communicated to you? How did your family communicate with you when you were little?
Deafblindness is a spectrum. I was born deafblind. I had more vision and hearing when I was younger, and my vision and hearing has deteriorated through my life and will probably continue to deteriorate throughout my life. Mm-hmm. I could hear my parents better when I was younger. It was not perfect. So they communicated to me by voice. And in quiet settings, and they were close by, I could hear them.
And then you go into Harvard Law. I mean, what brought about your wanting to go into law school? Why law?
Law gives you a lot of power, and it opens up a lot of employment opportunities. I was really scared that I'd never get a job and no one would hire me. I tried looking for a job when I was in college, and so many employers turned me down. They assumed I was incompetent. A lot of employers, if they just looked at my resume, great grades, valedictorian in high school, awards, they'd get excited, they'd invite me for an interview. But once they discovered my disabilities, then they would come up with all kinds of excuses not to hire me. Mm-hmm. It was incredibly frustrating. Mm-hmm. So I stepped back and asked myself, what are my talents? What is a field that would value my talents? And law, civil rights law particularly, is a field that values the talents of people with disabilities. There's still discrimination in the legal field, and lawyers with disabilities are still fighting for greater access. But I've had more positive experiences trying to find employment in the civil rights field compared to the general field.
And so, Haben, what do you see right now is the biggest issue that people with disabilities are dealing with?
The big thing right now is a lot of the digital content being developed. New apps, new websites, new digital services are not being designed with access in mind. These are among some of the easiest things to make accessible. So we want to get more of these companies, like startups, to make their services accessible, designed for it to be accessible from the start.
Is there a recent case you can talk about that you were successful with in terms of accessibility and disability rights?
One of my favorite cases is a case called National Federation of the Blind versus Script. And Script is a digital library. Blind readers wanted to read books on that library. And at first, Script said they didn't have to make their library accessible. We disagreed. We took them to court. And the judge held that, yes, Script has to make their services accessible. Online services are covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act.
President Obama named you a White House champion of change. You received the Helen Keller Achievement Award. You were in the Forbes 30 Under 30. This is like a whirlwind. Is it a lot at times? You just want to like ride a horse? Because I know you like to do horse riding too.
You did hear about horses and Haben. And it's been a while since the two have been together. It's been maybe a year since the last time I went horseback riding. I do miss it. It was incredibly fun. I travel with a guide dog, and riding a horse kind of reminds me of traveling with a guide dog. You tell the horse left, right, forward, canter, and if it's a well-trained horse, it responds.
If.
I love the feeling of just riding and feeling the wind on your face and the movement of the horse. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll let you keep that one. I'm not going to ride on a horse hopping. I can't do the horse. I like to dance.
There's similarities with dancing and being on a horse because there's also a lot of movement.
Nope.
Are you uncomfortable with motorcycle rides?
Yes, I am. Can we stop talking about horses?
You kept bringing it up. Take responsibility for this, Hannah.
Haben, thank you.
You're very welcome. And by the way, I noticed that you're ending the conversation about horses by ending the interview. Very clever.
Yes.
Great strategy.
I'm smart like that. I didn't go to Harvard, but I'm smart.
All right, everyone. This proves that no one needs to go to Harvard.
Thank you very much.
That's disability lawyer Haben Girma talking with KALW's Hana Baba. Haben's book comes out in August. It's called Haben, the Deaf-Blind Woman Who Conquered Harvard Law. You can pre-order your copy. We'll show you how at kalw.org.